Tonight, a postman turns heads, a look at the lower decks, and a couple of goodbyes. All that and more on this edition of Multiverse Tonight.
Comic books, sci-fi, fantasy, and more. If you're looking for a roundup of geeky news, you're in the right place. This is Multiverse Tonight. And here's your host, Thomas Townley.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 78 of Multiverse Tonight. I am, of course, your host, Thomas Townley. Well, what can be said? You know, things are starting to form into a new kind of normal. Of course, the world seems to be really unsettled right now. Most restrictions have been lifted around here, mostly because people, you know, whined about them, so, you know, the government basically kind of threw in its hat and said, okay, fine. If you do what you're going to do, but do it responsibly. So, of course, people gathered together at lakes, spread it around. So, now it's kind of wait and see when wave two hits and people realize that getting out next to each other on the beach probably isn't a good idea. You know, let's just nip that in the bud right there. You know, stay home, buy yourself a pool. I don't know if you can find one. Trust me, I work in retail. The hard things to find are pools, bikes, and fishing gear. Those are the hard things. Unless you're 100% trust another person, the other person. Assume they have too, you know. I don't want any of my listeners to get this and die. That just wouldn't be, you know, good. Although, if you donate to, you know, my Patreon or something like that, and you do happen to pass, I'll give you a lovely eulogy as my only patron. But, well, anyway. Let's get on with the news. Now, we start with some Star Wars news today. A mailman in Colchester, Vermont is turning heads. He, like all essential employees, has to, you know, wear a mask to do the job. So you might as well have some fun with it. The unnamed mailman posted an image of himself on the Mandalorian Reddit page of himself in a Mandalorian helmet painted in Postal Service colors. Blue and white with red trim around the frontal T and the UPS logo on the front. Now, it's pretty spiffy. You can, you know, Google it to find it. I always gotta say to that man is, you know, keep up the good work, Mando. Now, it's been 40 years since The Empire Strikes Back, and I'm really old. Now, I'm already old. And that line and one line changed that franchise forever. Now, I am your father. You know, that line right there. No, I am your father. Now, Mark Hamill relayed on Twitter about how that line was kept a secret, saying, quote, "The cast and crew first learned of it when they saw the finished film. When we shot it, Vader's line was, 'You don't know the truth. Obi-Wan killed your father.' Only Irving Kirshner, George Lucas, and I knew what would be dubbed in later. Agony keeping that secret for over a year," said Mr. Hamill on Twitter. Now, that is, you know, one of the big lines. Of course, that's also one of the lines that people get wrong over the years. You know, they say, "Luke, I am your father." But, you know, it can be forgiven. You know, it's a classic line. Yeah. Simon Pegg would like another go in the cinematic land of Star Wars. The actor who portrayed Rey's boss on Jakku, Unker Plutt, now he's interested in playing a classic Star Wars bounty hunter, Dengar, in a future season of The Mandalorian. Dengar was one of the bounty hunters hired by Darth Vader to find the Millennium Falcon back in The Empire Strikes Back. Now, he was portrayed by actor Morris Bush. Peg has also portrayed the character, albeit in the animated Clone Wars series, as well as the Star Wars Battlefront game. He told Collider, quote, "I've mentioned it a few times, but surely if Taika Waititi, director, and series creator Jon Favreau decided to bring Dengar into The Mandalorian, then I have some form of experience in the past having played him in Star Wars Battlefront and the Clone Wars," unquote. Now, Peg told Collider, when asked to name the television show he'd most like to appear on as a guest star, you know, he said Star Wars. So just, and he said, quote, "So just saying, I heard they just employed Katie Sackhoff to play a character that wasn't in the movies, but she played it before in a different Star Wars thing. So just saying," you know, unquote. You know, I would love to see Simon Pegg, you know, in that role. I think, you know, he could bring his Simon Pegg-ness to that role. Anyway, LEGO Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, has finally got a release date. The game will be out for PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC, all on October 20th, 2020. The game covers all the Star Wars movies from 1 to 9 and features interplanetary travel, wide open worlds to explore, and over 200 characters from across the Star Wars saga. The new entry will also be offering a new take on the series combat, a host of side quests, and much, much more. So get your pre-orders in now. The Star Wars, the High Republic books and comic books have been delayed due to pandemic. Now, this would have had a new era of storytelling set 200 years before The Phantom Menace, during the height of the Great Republic. The first three books in the series, Star Wars, The High Republic, Light of the Jedi, and Star Wars, The High Republic, A Test of Courage, will now drop on January 5th, 2021. Star Wars, The High Republic, Into the Dark will debut on February 2nd, 2021. And new release dates for the Marvel and IDW comics have yet to be announced, so stay tuned. You know, you'd think that I was drinking the way I'm messing up my words today. No. Yeah, it's... I haven't touched a drop today. Anyway, let's go on to the Star Trek news. Well, Picard Season 2 is delayed by the coronavirus. Yeah, I'm going to be saying those words, delayed by the coronavirus, a lot, aren't I? The original plans were to start in June. According to co-creator Akiva Goldsman in an interview with Collider, quote, we were not shooting. We were to start shooting in June, which I guarantee you will not unless the world opens up tomorrow. We had broken the season. We were about halfway through the writing of it. You know, we will start as soon as we can once the world opens, you know. Prep will have to resume and then we'll start. We know what it is and it's cool and we're excited by it. And I feel like we learned a lot from season one. It's one of the things I have in my life. It is the one of the most imminent when the world opens. It's the one that feels like that's the thing, at least in my life, that's going to come back fastest, unquote. Now, the good news there is that they're still working on the show, and given that the extra time they've got now, it should be one hell of a show. They have plenty of time to make this season solid like rock. So, anyway, Akiva also offered an idea of how many seasons the show is targeting, saying, quote, "I mean, I think we discussed it as both a 3-season show, a 5-season show, a let's just keep going forever show. But we certainly, Star Trek Picard in my view, will go on as long as Patrick Stewart wants to do it. As I'm sure you know, he was not interested in coming back, and we did a lot of really good collaborative story breaking and talking, and you know, I think he's particularly delighted in a good way about having come back. And we will rely on that goodwill until he feels he's done." So, basically, it's all down to Patrick Stewart. If Patrick Stewart wants to keep doing this until he's 100, you know, they'll keep making seasons. You know, if he wants to stop after the second season, it's over. So stay in good health, Sir Patrick Stewart. Stay in good health. And while we're on the Trek shows, Slash Film had an interview with Star Trek Lower Decks co-creator Mike McMahon, who he said, quote, "I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and nobody needs a Star Trek comedy that made fun of Star Trek or punched down on Star Trek. Nor was I interested in doing that. I was interested in writing a Star Trek that could be canon, that follows the rules of other Star Trek shows that I love, and has everything that you love about Star Trek, including the way you tell stories. But I'm a comedy writer. I'm never going to write a serious Star Trek, so the way that we handled it is on a ship that isn't a capital ship. It's not about the bridge crew, it's about the lowest officers on that ship. But when we're breaking stories for the Lower Decks, every episode also has a proper Star Trek episode that's happening to the bridge crew, and our Lower Deckers aren't involved in it. However, you can't have a big sci-fi thing happening on a starship and not have it affect them, because that's their whole world. So if you're watching Lower Decks, you're getting a full Star Trek episode from the perspective of people who are having their own social and emotional stories and their own sci-fi stories. But they aren't on the bridge. They don't have the information the bridge is getting, and they don't have the responsibility," unquote. You know, with Rick and Morty just ending its season last night, I am so looking forward to this. You know, but of course, that's not his only show. He also has Solar Opposites over on Hulu. Now, this show, excuse me, this show allowed McMahon to stretch his comedic legs. Rick and Morty and Solar Opposites are more intentional comedies. So how to do it on Lower Decks? Mike explained, quote, "A big thing that was important to me was figuring out how do we comedically access these characters. How can these characters be funny and not break Star Trek? You can't have a Morty from Rick and Morty in Star Trek. You can't just have a stupid person in Starfleet, otherwise it breaks the aspirational paradigm of what humanity is like in Starfleet. So our leads are foils for each other, but they're very much ingrained in Star Trek," unquote. He then went on to break down the characters, saying, quote, "You have Ensign Beckett Mariner, who is like our Tom Cruise Maverick, where she's amazing at Starfleet stuff, and she's incredibly knowledgeable, but she just hates following the rules, and she bristles at the military structure. She wants to do whatever she wants. She's kind of like Captain Kirk, if Kirk wasn't a captain and didn't have the power. Kirk would follow his gut, and she follows her gut. Then, Ensign Brad Boimler also knows everything about sci-fi stuff, and is also an amazing Starfleet crew member. But he's so by the book and so burdened by following the rules that he can't follow his gut. So the comedic friction there is that they both want the same thing. They're both good at this stuff, but emotionally and from a human level, they're completely different about how they do it," unquote. He also talked about people having concerns about the show being a comedy, saying, quote, "Star Trek has always had comedy in it. Even every series of Star Trek has funny characters, funny episodes, and those always live in the B stories for the most part. That, to me, is what I love about Star Trek. So it's really taking that aspect of it and letting that shine. I can't wait for you guys to see it, because it's one of my favorite things I've ever made. It feels like it fell out of another dimension in the 90s, where they were making a funny Next Generation era show," unquote. I so want to see this show. Yeah. More than the next season of Discovery, more than the next season of Picard, you know, more than any other project they've announced so far. I just want to see this show. You know, is right in my wheelhouse. So when can we see it, CBS? I mean, you know, any day now. Yeah. If you really want my money, any day now. I kid. Anyway, let's go on to the geek news. Now, if you're not using your Netflix subscription, you're gonna lose it. The streaming giant has announced in emails to subscribers and in-app notifications that inactive consumers will be given an ultimatum of sorts. Do you want to stay subscribed? If no response is given, your account will be deactivated. Eddie Wu, director of product innovation, said in a statement, quote, "We're asking everyone who has not watched anything on Netflix for a year since they joined to confirm that they want to keep their membership, and we'll do the same for anyone who has stopped watching for more than 2 years." 2 years without watching? I think Netflix is doing those people a solid. That's money wasted by these people. You know, 15 times 24, that's $360 thrown out the window. You know, you could be doing something else with that. You know, some people, that's a car payment. You know, watch something, will ya? You know, there's plenty of good stuff. Umbrella Academy, Sabrina. I mean, there's just plenty of good stuff on Netflix. Watch a comedy show, you know, something. Do something for your money. Now, we turn to the Academy of Motion Arts, Picture Arts and Sciences, who, according to Variety, an exclusive, might have to postpone the 2021 Oscar Awards altogether. Their sources, who spoke to Variety on condition of anonymity, say that the plan hasn't been set in motion yet, just saying that it's likely. Currently, the telecast is set to air on ABC on February 28th, 2021. There has also been a rule change introduced as well that will help because of the closed theaters. Normally, a movie has to have a 7-day run in an LA County theater to qualify. But now they're allowing films that have been released digitally if they were originally going to have a theater run, but just couldn't because of the pandemic. Theatrical runs in New York, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, and the San Francisco Bay Area are also being allowed. So, do you think they should just totally scrap the Oscars next year? You know, just say, you know, all those films, you know, you're still in contention for the 2022 Oscars, or maybe just give, you know, double the awards in 2021. Oh, dear God, that would mean like an 8-hour telecast, wouldn't it? Never mind. You know, hand them out at Christmas, whatever. Anyway, let's go on. Netflix, we're getting a lot of news on Netflix, folks. Netflix has purchased the historic Egyptian Theater from the Los Angeles nonprofit America Cinematheque. The Egyptian will remain home to the American Cinematheque, with Netflix planning to invest in the theater's renovation and will use the revitalized space for social events, screenings, and premieres. The Egyptian opened on Hollywood Boulevard in 1922 and was home to the first Los Angeles movie premiere of Robin Hood, starring Douglas Fairbanks. Yeah, that's a long time ago. Used to be Grauman's Egyptian Theater. Not as famous as the Chinese Theater, though. So, yeah, that's that. The Matrix has added 2 months of additional time to its production schedule. Warner Brothers is hoping that the production can be restarted in early July. Now, filming began in February in San Francisco, but stopped in Berlin in mid-March when the coronavirus, of course, became the problem that is. The film is scheduled for next year, hopefully. Jamie Lee Curtis and her Comet Pictures Productions have signed a 3-year deal with Jason Blum's Blumhouse. The first project under this new deal will be Jamie Lee Curtis directing the eco-horror movie Mother Nature. The movie centers around climate change, and Jamie Lee wrote it with Russell Goldman, who has been appointed head of development for film and television at Comet Pictures. In a statement, Ms. Curtis said, quote, "I'm 61, and my motto now is, if not now, when? If not me, who? I'm excited to have a creative home to explore my own ideas and others. Jason and his team have made me feel welcome. Comet is ready to bring these stories to screen life." Jason Blum added in his own statement, quote, Jamie is a force of nature and was a real partner on Halloween, so it's both an honor and incredibly apt that she's making her first feature film as a director with Mother Nature, unquote. So, is anyone really excited for that? I think it's kind of interesting. She's 61. I wonder if she still takes the Activia yogurt. What We Do in the Shadows has been renewed for a third season. Yay! Now, season 2 has been doing great, averaging 3.2 million viewers on TV and digital platforms. In a statement, Nick Grad, president of original programming at FX Entertainment, said, "We're incredibly happy that critics and audiences are all in on Shadows. Week in and week out, the producers, writers, and our amazing cast continue to make one of the funniest and best comedy series on TV," unquote. And folks, I highly recommend watching this. You know, first watch the original movie, and then watch this, and it is just a great take on vampires, werewolves, and other, you know, creatures that go bump in the night. The sequel to Jim Henson's Labyrinth is going ahead, and Scott Derrickson has been named its director. Now, with Maggie Levin writing the script, the original movie from 1985 was a box office bomb, but has become a cult classic over the many, many years since its release. Now, Jim Henson's daughter, Lisa Henson, will be producing the sequel with her brother Brian, executive producing it. Scott Derrickson is known for The Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and, of course, the first Doctor Strange movie. Now, Scott passed on doing the second one. Now, folks, let me just say here for a minute. I'm a bit apprehensive on this one. Was there really a need for a sequel? You know, it seemed to be a fairly self-contained story. You know, and of course you have the problem that David Bowie is no longer with us. So, you know, who will he get to play the Goblin King? Or will you even have that character in the story? It's all kind of interesting. But anyway, NBC Universal's Peacock streaming service is developing a comedy based on the Hans Christian Andersen Little Mermaid story. No, not the Disney one, the real one. The show will be called Washed Up, and we'll see the mermaid 15 years after the events of the story, now miserable and in a loveless marriage. But when her father suddenly dies, she suspects foul play and embarks on an epic adventure to save not only the underwater kingdom, but the surface world as well. Now, the show comes from writer-director Gracie Glassmeyer and will be produced by CBS Television Studios. Yeah. I don't know. I think the title is correct. Washed Up is correct because I think the whole story sounds washed up. But, you know, perhaps it could be good. You know, I guess we'll have to see. Now, finally, tonight, we remember a couple of actors. First, Twilight actor Gregory Tyree Boyce, who played Tyler Crowley in the first Twilight movie, has passed on. Now, if you don't remember the movie, his big scene was almost hitting Bella with his car and Edward stopping the car with his bare hands. Now, in recent years, he had turned his energy to opening up a wing restaurant called West Wings. He and his girlfriend were found dead in their Las Vegas condo. The cause of death has not been disclosed. He was 30 years old. We also would like to remember actor Richard Hurd. Now, I know some of you out there are saying, who? Well, you may not know the name, but you've seen him time and time again. Sci-fi fans will know him for his roles in the original 1983 miniseries V, playing the Visitor's Supreme Commander John. He also appeared on Sequest DSV as Admiral William Noyce and Star Trek Voyager, where he played Admiral Owen Paris, father of Tom Paris. But to comedy fans, he is best known for his role of George Costanza's boss, Mr. Wilhelm, on the sitcom Seinfeld. Richard was born in 1932 in Boston, Massachusetts. His first big role was in the movie Hercules in New York in 1970, playing a presenter on television. Now, he would go on to have roles in movies like All the President's Men, The China Syndrome, Private Benjamin, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, The Mule, and many, many more. But on TV, he was all over the place. First appearing in a 1973 show called Pueblo, he would make appearances on Kojak, The Rockford Files, The Streets of San Francisco, Eight is Enough, Starsky and Hutch, Heart to Heart, MASH, Dallas, The Greatest American Hero, 36 episodes of T.J. Hooker as Captain Dennis Sheridan, as well as 4 episodes of Simon Simon, Hardcastle and McCormick, The A-Team, Murder, She Wrote, Matlock, The Golden Girls, Quantum Leap, Star Trek The Next Generation as Klingon Lacore, and in the episodes Birthright, Parts 1 and 2. The list literally just goes on and on. His final TV appearance was in a 2018 episode of Hawaii Five-0. Richard Hurd passed away from cancer on May 26th, at the age of 87. He is survived by his wife Patricia and his 4 children. And that brings us to the end of the sci-fi news. Now, be sure to check us out on social media. We're at Twitter, at Multiverse Tom. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as well. And if you'd like to feel generous, contribute some money, please visit mtpodcast.com to go to our Ko-fi, Patreon, and now our glow.fm as well, or just go to Multiverse Tonight and hit that support me link at the top of the page. And be sure to visit multiversetonight.com to check out the affiliate marketplace links, the link to our TeePublic store, our show notes, and so much more. And if you're a subscriber, be sure to share us with your friends. And if you're brand new to the show, please hit that subscribe button. And by the way, if you'd like to leave us with some feedback and let us know how we're doing, that'd be great as well. Special thanks to Shane Ivers for the intro music and Lobo Loco for the outro theme music. Thanks for watching the sci-fi edition of Multiverse Tonight. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the comic book edition. Now, please exit the universe in an orderly fashion. Good night. Multiverse Tonight is a production of Half-Baked Genre Productions. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved.